Lesson 72, in the dispensational view of the book of Matthew, we're in Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to start at verse 13. We left off at 15, but we're going to start with 13. So if you go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, it says, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Now, we already talked about this just a little bit, but I just want to share this much more with you, is the fact that this is a physical salvation for them. So when Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the 12 here, and he's sharing them in the book of Matthew about what's going to happen over here in ages to come, he's telling them that they're going to have a physical salvation. And that's saved out of Jacob's trouble. The times of Jacob's trouble over here, a wrath is going to come down, pouring down on the nation Israel and on a world that's never been seen before. Never been that age. And the word saved can mean a lot of different things, can it? When you talk to people all the time, you talk about, are you saved? You know, they like, saved from what? You know, that type of thing. Good term is used, are you justified? Because now that pinpoints the fact that, hey, justified. How do I get justified? But we learn today that salvation for the believers in the dispensation of the grace of God has a three tense. You are saved. That's past tense, right? What are you saved from when you heard the gospel of your salvation? What are you saved from? Dying and what? Going to hell. Okay? And that's been taken care of, so you are justified. So saved is past tense. And then there's a future tense as being, I will be saved from the wrath to come. Okay? That's a type of thing that you're going to be saved from the presence of sin. And when Christ comes back for the church, he catches us away, and in Romans chapter 5, we will be saved. Then there's a present tense, and it's justification is the past, and glorification is the future. What is in the middle if you know Romans chapter 6, 7, 8? It's sanctification. Okay, and that's now you're now being saved by your life. The power of indwelling sin has no more dominion over you. You have the power, not the sin. So you have past, present, and future. So in Israel's program, they had very much the same. And Matthew is a physical salvation for that little remnant of believers over here that when they come, that they're going to have to endure it. So go with me to Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 4. It's important to see the salvation in this verse. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4. "And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and the body of Christ." You will not find the body of Christ in this verse. You will not find the body of Christ reference at all in the Old Testament. I'm sorry, we're not there. Verse 5, "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. They look out, and everyone is in torment, that the man are in the same torments and pain, just as if they're going through the pain of childbirth." Now, I've never had a child, and many of you have and been around them and stuff, but according to that, God uses a childbirth of a woman to show how much pain that they're going to go through over there. That's something to think about, isn't it? Notice how he describes the pain. He talks about the travail and labor pains of a childbirth, as I just said. Verse 7. "Alas, for the day is great, day of torment and pain," what's it say? "So that none is like it. It is even the time of what? Jacob's trouble." That's over here. And that's referenced right back over in Matthew. He's telling that little flock, and he's preparing them to go through that kingdom over here. What's going to happen? That great day of Jacob's trouble, pain, torment, and tribulation is a great tribulation period. And that's what we're reading back here in Matthew 24. That the time of Jacob's trouble is the tribulation period, the 70th week, when God will pour out his wrath over the nations. But he, Jacob, shall be saved out of it. Go to John chapter 3. You've got to remember, the issues of the nation, of people, is Judah and Israel. John chapter 3, right? We talked about this time and time again, and the entrance into the kingdom was not just purely spiritual experience. It's what? A physical. You know, a lot of people today want to tell you, you know, everything's spiritualized. You've got to spiritualize things and spiritualize you that God is building his kingdom today. That's not true. He's building a body. There's a contrast there. It has to do with a literal physical salvation as promised to the prophets over here, that he promised them to live in a nation, in a kingdom on earth forever. It's a visible kingdom. And there's a physical issue there. So we should not miss that. When God told Nicodemus, chapter 3, John chapter 3, you ever heard of the term born again? Many of us have. Many of that has ingrained in our memory banks. So anytime somebody says born again, you automatically think they're saved. But look at John chapter 3, verse 7. Now, once John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the who?
Jews.
Now, what do we know about a Pharisee when it came to John the Baptist? And he's calling out the nation Israel for repentance. Said all of Jerusalem and Judea was baptized of him, John, except the Pharisees and the who?
Lawyers.
So, and they said they rejected the counsel of God. So when you look at this Pharisees, automatically you should think they rejected the counsel of God. But something about Nicodemus, he came in the middle of the night to the Lord Jesus Christ because you know what? He started believing who he was. There's no ifs, ands, doubt about it. Verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay? You can turn on any radio station, religious radio station, TV station, and you're going to hear this term, and they're going to preach it at you, aren't you? You've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. I say to thee. Now, who's he talking to there when he says thee?
Nicodemus
and the Jews.
Not the Jews. Nicodemus. One person. Thee. I want thee. Okay? Look. And I want thee. I want you to hear me, Nick. That's what he's saying. I'm talking, Nick. Ye. Now you're talking to Jews. Now you're talking to Israel. Now the nation, ye. That's the whole nation. So he looked at Pharisee, I'm talking to you, and he said, now ye must be born again. That new birth, the doctrinal and primary issue is Jesus referring to the nation here. And the body of Christ is not there. I don't know how many times I have to share this. This is the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. But you got to see some contrast in there because people will gob this thing together and make it just one gospel through Aaron. It's an error. He's talking to the nation Israel there. And all individual is a new nation and the believing remnant is that little flock. And they're going to have an experience born again appeal about them. Verse 5. Go back to verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Now, who's he talking to there? Nick. Except a man be born of water and of a spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The man who walks into the kingdom over there has to enter to have a spiritual birth. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was to the nation Israel only. And he's preparing that little flock, the believer remnant, to go in over here, and you had to go into a certain way, and it's through John the Baptist was the porter. Many of you know that. But a lot of people listening, they have no idea what I'm talking about. They won't believe their Bible. Unless you have that spiritual verse, Christ says, you will not be able to enter and understand the kingdom. Now, I'm going to share this with you. Until you open up your mind and believe your Bible and dispensational view, did any of this ever make sense to you?
No.
So you have to understand the Bible dispensationally. And they understood it, many of them did, and will. Hence, you won't endure out of there because you won't know what's going on. That's what he's sharing. The people who are born again are the believing remnant and the ones that's going to endure to the end. It goes right back over to Matthew 24 and end. Verse 7. And by the way, it is also a physical thing with a physical salvation involved in that. That's what we just read. He has to endure to the end. The nation Israel is a physical people. They're not a spiritual people. I know there's people out there that tells you you're spiritual Israel today. You have to spiritualize that. Well, when you know what the deal is, when you spiritualize eyes with spiritual eyes, you're going to tell spiritual what? Lies. And it fits right there. You have to lie to yourself to make yourself fit in those things, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. Verse 7. Marvel not, said I, that I said unto thee, ye must be what? You know there's a rebuke here? You ever notice that? Marvel not. What's he saying there?
You shouldn't be surprised what I'm telling you.
Okay. The thing is, Nick, ye must be born again. There's not so much rebukes on down there in verse 10, but he's saying this. You know, verse 10 is a rebuke, I should have said, but look at this. Why should Israel, let's look at some verses. Go to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. You're going to see what Nicodemus should have known and should have preached, and all the rulers should have known and should have preached. But Nicodemus, Israel, Ezekiel 36, verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. That's what Nicodemus and Israel, the leaders of Israel, should be saying. Hey, the Messiah is here. He's God himself. He's going to take us and he's ready to take us. Chapter 11, verse 24. Chapter 11, verse 19. Ezekiel 11, 19. Ezekiel 11, 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new heart, new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of the flesh and will give them a heart of the flesh. What is the condition of Israel back then when Lord Jesus Christ? Was their heart receptive? It was hardened, yes. It was hardened. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Go back. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? As soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her. Now, what do we, children, what did we find out a while ago? Travailing. Mm-hmm. Was the earth brought forth in one day? Yeah. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Was a nation born at one day? Mm-hmm. You better believe it. They was born over here with Moses. When people say you must be born again, I'm going to share this with you. When was you born the first time? That's why I ask people. When was Israel born the first time? Let my first son, firstborn what? Remember, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my firstborn son go. That's when they was first born over here. They had to be born again over here to get into the real kingdom. Isaiah 60. And get Psalms 22. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 60 verse, glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to light, and the kings to the brightness of the rising. Lift up thy eyes round about and see. All they gathered themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed by thy side. That's that nation out there coming to that light and being that light. That's not you and I. It's the nation Israel in that dark world over here. And they're supposed to have been that when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. Psalms 22. The nation of Israel has to be born again. Psalms 22. Verse 30, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. That they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be, what? Born, that he hath done this. There's a people that has to be born right here. And that's that nation Israel. That's who he's talking to. He's not talking to the body of Christ. Go back to... Get Ezekiel 36 and Isaiah 66. Should have told you to stay there. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and Isaiah 66. You got those two passages? Now go back over to John. Flip over to John right now. Hold your fingers there and go back to John. Chapter 3, where we're reading. Now you see what, why marvel not that I say unto thee. Mm-hmm. Now, ye must be born again. I think in my mind, and I done shared this, that Nicodemus is a teacher. He's a leader, and he should know this stuff, correct? And the verses that we just read proves that if he read his Bible and studied his Bible like he's supposed to do, he would identify who Lord Jesus Christ was and said, this is what the scriptures say. And got on the Lord's side and convinced the nation, but he didn't. Verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. And Jesus answered. Well, look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You know, that's what gets me. You should know. You ever heard that term, you're just too smart for your own britches, or too smart for your own good? That's what he is. Nicodemus, he's just too smart. He just don't see. Verse 10, and Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? This is the rebuke that the Lord looked at master, that leader, and said, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? What things? I told you to go to Ezekiel, didn't I? 36. Ezekiel 36. Why the rebuke? What should he have known? Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. We just read that. He should have known that. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Has that happened yet?
No.
But all these churches out here has got you going in there cleansing you, don't they? And sprinkling clean water on you to do what? To further a kingdom gospel that we found out last week that God is not doing that today through the Apostle Paul. It's to the nation Israel. Look at verse 26. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Who's going to do this? Amen. God do it. And he can do it. And he will do it. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's exactly what takes place over there. He's going to be their people and their God. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Now, read this again. Who hath heard such a thing? Isaiah 66, verse 8. Verse 7 says, but she travailed and she brought forth before her pain came, she delivered a man child. Who hath heard such a thing? Question there, isn't it? Well, you just heard such a thing. I will do it. I will sprinkle clean water. I will cause you to walk. Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? As soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. Was a nation brought forth right here with a little flock? Think about it. A foolish nation will provoke you. That little flock became a little nation within a nation. So all this stuff is lining up. Get 1 John. So all this stuff is lining up with the fact that Nicodemus, you should have known this stuff. So now when the Lord Jesus Christ is telling the little flock, ye shall endure to the end and shall be saved, this is what he's talking about. And you know what's the beauty about this is? They had the Word of God with them, didn't they? Mm-hmm. That they could search this stuff out. Now, I'm going to ask you this along the line with the born again. You have ever had people talk about you must be born again, haven't we? Mm-hmm. But when you asked them, do you still sin? Have you ever asked them that? When they say, oh, you've got to be born again Christian. And, you know, they're just ragging on you. And they're, you know, constantly just, you know, beating you up. And you ask them, well, do you still sin? What would your answer be?
Yes.
What would their answer be?
No. It depends on the depends on if you know the verse.
Some of them say no, don't they? Some of them say yes. But think about this, 1 John, I better get there myself. 1 John chapter 3. You with me? Ye must be born again, Ed. Okay, I'll see it in scriptures. God told Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, so if I'm a part of Israel's program, I have to be born again, right? But a part of the body of Christ, so I'm asking you today, if you know, these people saying that if we're born again, do you still sin if you're born again? And if you say yes, look what 1 John 3 says. Verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteousness, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might be destroyed the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, now you want born again? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, you put that verse up to them and see what they say. That's something to think about. You're not born again today. I know it tears people up. You a new today in the body of Christ, you're a new creature. You're something brand spanking new. You're not grafted into anything. He planted you. He put you in his body, and you're flourishing it through the doctrine of grace. That's what it's all about today. But Israel, go back to Matthew chapter. Well, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Israel has to be born again, guys and gals. They have to be to go in that kingdom over there. If they followed John the Baptist and was identified with John the Baptist's ministry and being baptized in him, they become a nation of priests so they could preach to the nation Israel and then the world. That's what happens over here. I know they use that term. We know that. And, you know, my heart's getting softened as I get older to realize, you know, they're just using the term because they're kind of, you know, that's a term to use. It's like, let Jesus in my heart. You know, do you really want Jesus in your heart? When he just told the nation of Israel, you got a wicked heart. It's a, you know, stony heart. I'm going to take that heart from you and give you a new heart. It's always been a heart issue. A real heart transplant. That's what you're looking at. Luke chapter 1, verse 7. 70. Verse 70. As he. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. And he spake. Yeah. For he, that's God, spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now who is that?
Israel.
It's Israel. And he's talking about John the Baptist here, and John's dad's saying, hey, he's talking about he's going to go and when he comes, he's bringing a physical salvation to them. You identify yourself with John the Baptist over there, and guess what? It's going to physically take you through some things. It's going to save you some things. Verse 22, to perform the mercies promised to our fathers and remember his holy covenant.
72, sorry.
The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. The point here is that they're going to be a physical deliverance and then go into a kingdom where they're going to serve God in righteousness and holiness. The nation Israel. Can you see how people can get this confused and make it you? You with me? See? You know, you see how you've been taught, hey, this is you and you need to be a part of this? That's why you need to rightly divide the word of truth. Go back to Matthew chapter 23 or 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is books dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry to the nation Israel. And the body of Christ is not there. But as people get that confused and just don't want to divide it, they continue that process all through the book of Acts, and they want to continue it in the dispensation of grace with Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul don't teach that, does he? No, he don't. But look, verse 13, it is not a spiritual salvation from hell, Matthew 24:13. And getting it into the family of God that is dealing with, he's teaching about people enduring the tribulation and going to the kingdom over there. That's what it's all about. Start walking on pews in a minute. Just joking. 2 Peter chapter 2. Talking about enduring the end. 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 1. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ. How does a man make his calling and election sure in that passage?
Diligence.
You have to give diligence to the things that you was told in verse 5 through 9. See? And you know what? They add to their faith there. See, over here, let me ask you something. The Bible's clear in the dispensation of grace that we walk by faith, not by sight. You understand that, don't you? Amen. The nation Israel walked by sight. And faith in some things, but they still walk by sight. So in order for me to be a part of nation Israel, then over here and ages to come, you're going to see me, if I was a part of Israel on that kingdom program, you're going to see me make my election sure by showing you some things, and I'm going to work it. That's why James over there, you don't have to turn there, but many of you know, that's why people get James chapter 2 confused with salvation. Faith without works is what? Dead. That has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do, if you read James chapter 2, it has to do helping that brother out there over here in that tribulation period that don't have anything. Show me your faith, okay? Here's my coat. Take it. You're cold. You're hungry. I'm going to feed you. That's what that's all about. It had nothing to do with salvation. From the pits of hell. And that's why when you endure to the end, you come back over to the book of Hebrews, if you want a Hebrews, and Hebrews is written to who?
Hebrews.
Just like the book of Daniel is written to who? Hebrews. You with me? And we just looked at Hebrews last week about, excuse me, Daniel last week, and saw some passage about that tribulation period. 70th week of Daniel. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast and continuance and rejoicing and hope firm until the what? What does that verse sound like?
Enduring to the end.
Go back to Matthew chapter 24. Our hope firm until the end. Doesn't that sound like Matthew chapter 24, verse 13? Mm-hmm. Endure to the end. Matthew 24, verse 15. There was another Hebrew verse over there. I didn't get to it, but it's for we are made partakers of Christ if we're holding to the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. That has to do with this over here. Ages to come. I tell you what, I would be most miserable right now if I had to endure to the end or hold on to something for my salvation, because I couldn't do it. I'd give up. Wouldn't you? Think about it. You had to hold on to a thread on a mountaintop, on a mountainside, for your dear life, how long could you do that? I just say I have to let go. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. We'll pick up there next week. Father, we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.